This is Weekend Arts on RN. I'm Sarah Kanoski. And last week I was speaking with Mark Rapolt, who's editor of Art Review, about its annual list of the 100 most powerful people in contemporary art. Claire Xu has made that list for 3 years in a row. She's a key figure in the Asian art world, which of course is one of the new centres of contemporary art. Claire Xu, let's start with the Asia Art Archive, of which you're co-founder and executive director. What is it?
So the Asia Archive was founded 13 years ago in 2000 in Hong Kong. We are a non-profit, independent arts organisation dedicated to documenting the recent history of art from Asia. So basically what we have is a public library and an archive. And around this library and around this archive, we're constantly activating the material and the ideas within it through research, through programs, through various different ways, reaching out to multiple audiences.
And what audiences are you reaching out to at the moment? Who's using the archive?
Well, we have very different kinds of audiences who are able to enter into what we're doing at different levels. One, we, through the library and the archive, it's very much scholars, academics, students in the field. And as we start to put more material online, we're also pushing out the way that our collection can be accessed globally.
And the development of the Asia Art Archive came out of a lack that you experienced yourself as a student in London.
Yes, it began as a personal project. I was 23 when I returned back from doing my master's at London University and set up the Asia Art Archive in Hong Kong when I was 24. And the reason for that was because when writing my dissertation for my master's on contemporary Asian art, I went to the library of my university, which is famous for its incredible wealth and depth of material on the non-Western world. But in terms of Chinese art history, it stopped at the beginning of the 20th century. So really trying to understand why this was happening and why, despite by now, you know, 2 decades of, I would say, very exciting developments within the Chinese contemporary art scene, why these developments and why this history was not being recorded or included.
And why not, Claire? I mean, it's wonderful that you've gone along and created this archive where it is being recorded and that information shared, but why was there such a lack, given the significance of contemporary art in China and other parts of Asia, as you say now, over the last 2 decades?
Well, this was at the end of the 90s. So for an academic institution perhaps to move so quickly, it's a challenge. In terms of why this is not happening in Asia is because we have a dearth and a lack of public institutions that have been putting together collections, and also academic institutions that have been teaching and formulating an art history for this part of the world. The way that one learns art history is still from a predominantly European and American perspective. And I think what we're really trying to do is to enrich these histories, to complicate these histories, to complicate these narratives, so as to include histories from this part of the world.
Mm. The work that you do with the Asia Art Archive in Hong Kong, Claire, is part of what seems to be a very deep culture-led revitalization project that's happening in Hong Kong at the moment. You know, we've heard in Australia about the massive West Kowloon Arts Centre, which aims to make the city a real international arts destination. It's headed, its CEO, of course, is an Australian, and you're on the museum advisory group for that project. You're also playing a key role in the Central Police Station Revitalisation Project, which is another arts hub that's being developed. Why is all of this important for Hong Kong? Why does Hong Kong need these kinds of art projects?
Well, I think Hong Kong is in a very special position at a very important point in time. It's now been 16 years since the handover to China, and you know, there's been a long search for what it means to be a Hong Konger, what is the Hong Kong identity, and I think this has accelerated even more. And obviously arts and culture is a very important space that these kinds of conversations have to happen. And so if in Hong Kong, if it's only the market, then that is seriously problematic, because from my point of view, I believe that art and the knowledge it creates and the space it creates is something that belongs to everybody and something that everybody should have a right and access to. And what we have is the development of an art market because of the art fair, because of multiple galleries coming to Hong Kong, the auctions. And while obviously that's a good thing for multiple reasons, it's not good unless it's balanced with public institutions that are really creating public spheres for the appreciation and participation in arts and culture. So I think, you know, Hong Kong, it's absolutely essential that we do develop these spaces. And considering our relationship to China as well, and considering, you know, the particular circumstance that Hong Kong is in, while being part of China, we have a very different legal system. We have freedom of expression. And so there is a lot that can actually happen here.
So in terms of the art that you can show, there's a bigger freedom in Hong Kong, is there, than if you were in mainland China?
Yeah. And even whether or not something like the Asia Archive could exist in terms of the free flow of information and material.
I wonder, Claire Xu, what your thoughts are about the representation of contemporary art from Asia in other parts of the world. I mean, it's somewhere that Australia has attempted to be a bit of a leader. I'm thinking of the Asia-Pacific Triennial that happens here in Brisbane at the Queensland Art Gallery in Goma. There have been other places where Australian institutions that are attempting to reach out to our neighbourhood in a different way. Does Australia figure in the thinking of where Asian arts is at from your perspective?
I think it's a very good question, and I believe there are multiple answers to that. I think there's a real focus on sort of what it means to be Hong Kong, what it means to be local, and I'm hoping that these discussions will extend beyond Hong Kong and China. Even if we think about China in terms of its context to Asia, I mean, there's very little dialogue or exchange that happens between, for example, the two major powers, India and China, in the art field, not arts and culture. So I think it really depends where you're sitting within the region and the relationships that you've had, or the history and how these histories have been built upon. So, for example, like the Asia-Pacific Triennial, obviously that has been very important in a certain period of time in kind of configuring what it means, what is Asia within the art field. And I think, you know, now obviously the region has changed tremendously since the Asia-Pacific Triennial was first set up in the early 90s. So, you know, its relevance, that is something that can be questioned today. But it really depends on, you know, from where we're sitting in terms of the Asia Archive. We haven't engaged so much with Australia, to be honest. One of the reasons also has been is that the resources in Australia and the infrastructure, I think, and the visibility of that discourse is far more visible. And we are really focusing on places, on histories where voices have been less visible.
And Claire Xu, for three successive years now, you've been named among the art world's 100 most powerful people by Art Review magazine. What does that recognition mean to you? How do you see it? do you open a bottle of champagne, or do you think, oh my goodness, now I just have to work harder? I mean, how do you take it?
Well, I don't know if you saw the cover of the magazine.
No, what's on the cover?
Power Eats the Soul.
Is that your experience?
I think it's a constant balancing and a constant, you know, keeping your feet to the ground and making sure that you don't lose sight of what you began with. So, you know, for us at the Asia Archive, we continue to do the work. We continue to stay focused. We say no a lot of the time. And, you know, there are lots of temptations, I would say, in the art world to put your name to things. And so, yes, you'll see my name to multiple things, but they have been chosen because I really want to become fully engaged and make a difference, especially in my community.
That's Claire Xu, co-founder and executive director of the Asia Art Archive.